So the Athabasca Basin is kind of one of those areas where you get the highest grades of uranium. And I think about 20% of the world's uranium essentially comes out of that, right? You have some of the major producers, Orano, Cameco, are running the mills. And you have a whole bunch of intermediate stage companies, which is anywhere from grassroots exploration to brownfields, and then the guys kind of trying to put new mines into
I
development.
counted three different properties or projects, if you would. Is that correct?
Yeah,
Okay.
that is right. We have on the north end, we have the Minto property. In the center, we have the Patterson Lake North property, and then on the south end, we have the Minto property, or sorry, the Broach property. And together as a whole, we call it the Patterson Lake North project.
Got it.
It used to be one property. We cut it into three, and we kind of at one point we're contemplating maybe different kinds of joint venture agreements or something on those lines, on separate properties. And we just kind of wanted to have a bit more optionality, so we divided it into three. And in the
Yeah.
meantime, there's ex exploration around. Now we have two new pods, Tetra Zone and Triple and JR Zone. How are all those going to fit in into the grand scheme of things? I don't think you can plan for that, right?
Right.
So my goal for F3 is, we're funded for 2026. I think we have about 27 million in the bank. 15 of that was flow through. So I think that it's going to work out to, I'm going to say, 12 million flow through in drilling for 2026.
That's great.
We're going to divide that up into probably three separate programs. So kind of like a winter, spring, early summer, and then like a late summer, fall program.
Sam Hartman, F3 Uranium. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Doing quite well.
Yeah, thanks for coming on here. Let's start real quick. Full disclosure to all my viewers and listeners, I am, as of this dropping of this video, I am not yet, as of yet, an investor in F3 uranium. Sam, give me a 30,000 foot view of the company. Where are you guys at, and what are you guys, and where are you guys at? Where are you exploring?
So our company, we are, like you mentioned, we're F3 Uranium. We're an uranium explorer, and specifically we're focused on the Athabasca Basin. So that's an area in the northern Saskatchewan in Canada. And for F3, we have our core project, which we call the Patterson Lake North Project. That's actually on the western side of the Athabasca Basin.
Got it. Okay. So talk to me a little bit about the Athabasca Basin. Why is that so important? And talk to me about grade and that sort of thing.
So the Athabasca Basin is kind of one of those areas where you get the highest grades of uranium. And I think about 20% of the world's uranium essentially comes out of that, right? You have some of the major producers, Orano, Cameco, are running the mills. And you have a whole bunch of intermediate stage companies, which is anywhere from grassroots exploration to brownfields. And then the guys kind of trying to put new mines into development, right? But what's unique about the basin is really the grade. You're getting grades that are probably 100 times or greater than, what you have average in the worldwide kind of percent level, right? Instead of PPM levels.
Right. Okay. So talk to me about really why grade is important, if you would, in looking for uranium and exploring uranium.
So, I mean, ultimately, the saying goes, grade is king. At the end of the day, you're trying to make money by mining a commodity, right? And
Right.
once that commodity, in the case of uranium, once you have yellow cake in a drum, it's not that relevant anymore at that point, what grade that deposit was at, right? However, in the Athabasca Basin, where we have these really, really high grades, you get grades in the multi-percent, you get up to 80% or more. It makes it a lot easier to build pounds, right? Uranium sold as pounds. So if you're looking for, let's say you're looking for 100 million pounds, if your average grade is 10% versus 200 ppm, you need a much smaller volume sort of to
Right.
satisfy those number of pounds, right?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Are you guys a greenfield exploration company, or are you more of a brownfields exploration company?
I would say we're still greenfield. We're definitely greenfields in a maybe in an almost soon to be brownfields area. So the western side of the Athabasca Basin has kind of been unexplored for a very long time. And it was fission uranium that I was a part of at the time that kind of made the first real discovery in that Patterson Lake area. And that was the Triple R deposit, right? It's about a, you know, five deposits along strike. Together, they're called the Triple R. And then that was 2012, 2014. NexGen found the Arrow deposit along strike of that same structure. And at that point, I think the west side got a lot more recognition. We're still in that general area, so we're still within about 20 kilometers of the radius of where these, you know, companies Paladin now and NexGen are proposing to build mines.
So you guys are right
So
on the fairway.
kind of, yeah, we are greenfields in that it's, you know, we are grassroots exploration. We have found a high-grade deposit in 2022, the JR zone. And now just more recently this year, this spring, we found a second high-grade deposit. And that one is the Tetra zone, right? And what's unique about that is it's not really a long strike. Typically, you look along strike, you have, like I mentioned, Triple R, you have five deposits, and then you have Arrow, and then you have Harpoon. You have quite a few things in a line. What we have now is kind of two unrelated things that are about 12 kilometers apart.
Okay, so they're right next to each other. Okay, talk to me about infrastructure around what's around you. Just talking about just power, water, roads, that's and even really small cities or towns. I mean, do you have to fly in there to the property or yeah, just
So we have we are we have a provincial highway. It's called Highway 955. It's an all weather, all season gravel road that comes up. It, you know, it comes north from Lalash. Lalash is sort of the nearest town. It's about 180 kilometers south of us. So you have paved highway roads up to that point. Then you have a gravel road past Lalash. So we are very close. Triple R deposit is probably within a kilometer of the highway. And Tetra Zone, which is our new thing, and then JR Zone, they're also within road access of that highway. So the access is pretty easy for us. We typically do fly in. It's just more efficient that way. We fly in from Fort McMurray, so float planes in the summer, and then usually an ice strip in the wintertime. For
got it.
power, we have some. There's some power. There's obviously power to Lalash, but all of these projects that are proposing to go into production, you know, notably Arrow and Triple R, they're each proposing their own local power grid. I don't know if that's diesel or gas or both, but
Power is not a problem then.
power you do have to generate yourself up there. Like I mentioned, there's about 200 kilometers from the nearest town, so you kind of have to cost out the, you know, bringing power up there or a local power. Some people were talking about, well, if you have a multiple deposits sort of in this 20 kilometer area, maybe you could have a like a local power grid with sort of a larger central power generating station, whatever that may be, and that kind of, you know, powering more than one site at the same time.
Got it. Okay, so talk a little bit about what do you, how much land did you have? You might have mentioned that already, but I'm very curious about that, just the breadth of the projects and the potential for drilling and what you got, and just tell me what do you think you have that you can comment on.
So we have just over 40,000 hectares.
That's a lot of land.
It's quite a bit of land, and especially considering how small these uranium deposits are spatially, right? There's certainly a lot of areas there for exploration. Our property is very near the edge of the Athabasca Basin. So the Athabasca Basin is, if you can picture it, like a bowl of sandstone. The bottom edge of that is the unconformity, and a lot of these, or almost all uranium deposits, are associated with that unconformity. So some are directly at laying on that contact like a pancake, and then some are in the basement rocks below in fault zones. And that's what Arrow is, that's what Triple R is, JR zone, and now this new one, Tetra zone, is like that as well. However, the deeper you go into that bowl of sandstone, the more sand you have to get through to. Well, it's solid sand. It's a sandstone, right? But anyways, the deeper you have to go to get to your deposit, and it's kind of a slope going into the basin, and that's why to this Right now, the center of the basin is still wide open ground because it's not really practical for exploration, right? When you're looking at 1,000 or 1,200 meter drill holes. So for us, the sweet spot has always been around the margins of the basin. And that
Okay.
is exactly where Patterson Lake North Project is. So our southern claims kind of stick outside of the basin. And then our northernmost claims are in several hundred meters of basin. And we kind of have this range. But certainly for us, the sweet spot is sort of the edge. And that is exactly where we picked up a new property in 2024. It was called the PW property, and we acquired that by trade, and that we sort of incorporated into our what we call the Broach Lake property. So we acquired that in 2024, and we did some ground geophysics. And 2025, this spring, that's what we made a discovery on. And it's a very unique system that we've discovered there that we're right now still sort of in the early we're early stages of exploring that.
Got it. Okay. So I counted, and correct me if I'm wrong, I counted three different properties or projects, if you would. Is that correct?
Yeah,
Okay.
that is right. We have on the north end we have the Minto property. In the center we have the Patterson Lake North property, and then on the south end we have the Minto property, or sorry, the Broach property. And together as a whole, we call it the Patterson Lake North Project.
Got it.
It used to be one property. We cut it into three, and we kind of at one point we were contemplating maybe different kinds of joint venture agreements or something on those lines, on separate properties. And we just kind of wanted to have a bit more optionality, so we divided it into three.
Sure. Okay. Talk to me about Saskatchewan here for those who don't know. How is that as far as I know? I know there's a lot of uranium in there, and actually own companies myself that are different minerals of gold and copper, if you would. And that's very green fields up there. But talk to me specifically about Saskatchewan. How is it like, or what is it like getting permitted there? What's that process like? Is it a friendly, would you say, jurisdiction? If tell me about that.
I think that Saskatchewan kind of rates, every year there's a rating of the most friendly jurisdictions in the world, and Saskatchewan is always up there in the top three, right? I think that part of that is because it has a very long legacy of mining, right? You've had exploration and mining going back over 100 years. I think that the communities are quite friendly with the mining companies just because of that length of relationship. In the northern half of Saskatchewan, that's certainly mostly uranium and a little bit of gold and base metals. And then on the south end, you're looking at potash and oil, gas, and now helium as well.
Yeah. Do you have permits in hand to drill, or what's the permitting process like?
Yeah, there's a permitting process. We typically have what we do is we maintain permits that kind of cover all kinds of contingencies. So we typically permit on the basis of what's the most we could possibly be doing over the next 2 or 3 years. And then we kind of permit it that way, just so we don't ever have a restriction on what we might want to do just from a permitting side.
Yeah, so permits are
We
not a problem.
permits aren't a problem, but they're certainly something that is relationship based with local communities and the Ministry of Saskatchewan. We of course stay on side with all of those, but it's not a limiting factor for us for sure.
Got it. What's the permitting process to build a mine? How long out is that, just from a permitting standpoint?
Well, so that's one of the things where there's a lot of talk about all the red tape and all that. I can say that it depends on when you start your permitting process. Are you going provincial? Are you going for a provincial permit, or are you doing a federal? Like NexGen is doing a federal, Paladin is doing a provincial. Typically, by the time they start the permitting process, there's still a lot of technical studies that are going on at the same
Sure.
time. You're typically still finishing your feasibility study or a FEED study. There's always something else going on, right? It's
Yeah.
never, I don't think it's ever the case where you're done all your work and now you have nothing to do and are waiting for a permit,
Right.
right? But yeah, it can take, I'm going to say Patterson Lake South was found in 2012. So that's 13 years ago. Arrow 2014, 30, right?
Right.
And these sites are still at the exploration status right now. And if you look at a site like Triple R, you look at its proposed mine life, right? So we found this thing in 2012. At the time, we thought we'd be in production by whatever, 2020. Now it's 2025. That thing has like a 10-year mine life, right? So you find something with a 10-year mine life, it takes you more than 10 years to put this thing into production. And that is why we still need to continue exploring for more ore bodies, right? Because of the timelines and, from discovery to production, that timeline is greater
Right.
than mine life.
Yeah, right. Well, talk to me about that. What is the goal r really here? Is it and talk me over really the next for 26, all of 26, what is the goal? And bleed out into that really over the next couple of years. I mean, where do you want to be in the Lassonde curve really?
So for us, the Lassonde curve, it's this idealized thing. We found a deposit in 2022, which is the JR zone. We've drilled that thing off, and we're kind of expecting a resource estimate, the maiden resource estimate, later this year. And then we kept
So
exploring.
later this year in 25, pardon me,
Yeah,
here.
in
Okay, so it's
25.
coming out then.
It's
Great.
coming out. And in the meantime, now we found a completely different, unrelated deposit. So now,
Right.
where does that put you in the Lassonde curve? Does it bump you back?
Right.
It's a brand new discovery, and I think that any time you have a new discovery, the potential of what it could be is a complete unknown.
Right.
And I think that's what we see right now, where I don't know how big Tetrazone is going to be. It's a different system than what we're used to. I think it might end up being a new, almost a new class of uranium deposits, which is a bit of an uncertainty and scares some people, but I think that the potential of that is just as unknown as the downside, potential downside, right? I
Right.
don't know how big it's going to be. Of course, I want it to be the next best thing.
Right. So I guess really the question is, or I should talk to all my viewers and listeners here. It's you got a discovery, fantastic. And now F3 is, I would say, categorize that in pretty, I mean, you can do a lot of things with it. It's great to have optionality here. You could go into production, but the thing is with exploration and development, you don't want to go into production too soon because you don't know what you have, especially if you have a big asset, another big asset. Correct me if I'm wrong, Sam.
I mean, I think that's right. I don't think that you can be too choosy on, they say you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. This is the third deposit we found in that Patterson Lake area. We don't know how big it's going to be. I think it's too early to talk about production. And if you talk about production as a whole on the west side, there's still a lot of uncertainties, right? Certainly on the east side, you have Cameco and Orano. Those are your producers. On the west side, you have two junior companies who are both proposing to build a mine and a mill at the same time. And I think that everyone is still kind of waiting to see how all that is going to shake out. And in the meantime, there's exploration around. Now we have two new pods, Tetrazone and Triple and JR Zone. How are all those going to fit in into the grand scheme of things? I don't think you can plan for that, right? So my goal for F3 is, we're funded for 2026. I think we have about 27 million in the bank. 15 of that was flow through. So I think that it's going to work out to, I'm going to say, 12 million flow through in drilling for 2026.
That's great.
We're going to divide that up into probably three separate programs. So kind of like a winter, spring, early summer, and then like a late summer, fall program. And stretch that money out and make it last, and hopefully tap into something really significant, which I hope we can do. I think we can.
No, that sounds that's music to my ears, really. Talk to me, Ben. You mentioned you had 27 million. I'm taking notes here in the bank. If you would talk to me, how many shares do you have outstanding, fully diluted?
Fully diluted, you're looking at around 750 million. Which is a big number, but when I look at F3 and you just look at it on a market cap basis, right? You see the market cap is we're looking at around 80 million. At one point, we were trading at close to 200 million. I think that just on a market cap basis alone, you can get over the share count, and you can see that there's significant value, especially when you compare that to some of the other juniors out there that have similar market caps and don't have too high grade discoveries on their properties and don't have, we've been drilling for 3 years straight, and that's basically the reason that our share count is where it is at.
Right. And
So.
you're fully funded for 26. Work out a really go a little more granular. Work out for me really what the plan is in 26, what the expectations. Again, you're going to be drilling. It sounds like you're going to be drilling. And from what you told me, you're drilling going to be drilling a great deal. But when are those? When do you expect that all to happen? When do you expect results to get back? And I'm trying to set this up for listeners and viewers. When should they be really start be paying attention?
Yeah, I mean, the thing with us is that, our theory is always as long as you're drilling, there's a risk in not being in because any hole we drill can be the next hole, right? And we've been, like I mentioned, we've been drilling continuously almost since late 2022. I think that at this point, we are slowing down a bit. We're kind of going one drill at a time instead of two or three and make that money last, right? I think that we want to do the focus will be on Tetrazone for sure. Tetrazone is the newest deposit. I think that what we see there is it's a different kind of a system, right? It's not as straightforward as what we're used to in the basin. So we're at the point right now where we're getting the geometry of that thing better understood. We have a really anomalous uranium and alteration and all that over a kilometer away. And then we have tons of regional targets that we've never drill tested, right? That can actually tie into the same system as Tetrazone. So for us, the thing is that we have to pace ourselves. Typically, we would drill with more than one drill and get results faster. These holes take, on average, probably about a week a piece.
Okay, and you're
So
currently
for
drilling now, correct?
we're currently drilling right now. It's getting close to, I think we'll probably end up drilling to them into mid-December here, and then the guys will take a break and we'll get some results back from the lab and then start again in the new year.
Got it. Okay. How many drills do you have budget? I mean, how many holes do you have budgeted to drill in 26?
Well, I think the question there is going to be, what do we do for geophysics? Are we going to do some more geophysics? I think we might. But I do think that the majority of it will be drilling. And so if we have a $12 million budget for drilling, that should, we should be able to drill about 15,000 meters with that.
Okay, 15,000 meters. Explain.
Somewhere about it all, yeah.
Okay, got it. Okay, tell me a little bit about really again, take me after 26 if you can. What's the overall goal? And I'm trying to get at, you guys look like you're a great takeover candidate. Just putting on my investor hat on just who you have around you. If you would, you're in the Athabasca region. You have a bunch of the big names all around you. But is the goal really to say to take this into production, or is the goal, what is the goal? And obviously, you might not be able to answer that as well. So I completely respect that, but I do want you to answer it.
So, I mean, we've gone down that route with Fission and Triple R, and it's a long and arduous route. I think that we're explorers at heart, and our preference would be certainly to get bought out and to have somebody else take it over. We have on our immediate west of us, we have NexGen and Orano. East of us, we have NexGen, PurePoint, Denison, and Paladin. So I think that who would buy us out? I mean, it would be someone who would like an accretion to what they currently have.
Sure.
It would certainly make sense to somebody who would want to extend their mine life or get some more tonnage, into their mill plan.
Yeah. And when a company does buy you out, or if they were to buy you out, they get everything, including permits and all of that, correct?
Yes, I do believe so. Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
typically at that point, this buyout process, it takes several months. Usually it takes long enough. I've been through it two times now with Fission Energy got bought out by Denison, and then Denison, or sorry, Fission. Uranium got bought out by Paladin. These things take several months. Typically, you have an entire drill season in between, right? So.
Excuse me. Interesting. Well, Sam, if people want to trade you, if they want to more information about you, how do they find you? What platforms or what exchanges are you traded on, and what are your ticker symbols?
So we're trading on the TSX Venture Exchange on the TSX. Ticker symbol is FUU. Our homepage is f3uranium.com. I think that shareholders can certainly send us an email to the info at or IR at email, and then if it's a technical question, it'll get forwarded to me, and then typically I'll phone back.
Excellent.
So.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. What we'll do is I'll put everything that you said in the show notes, both on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for your time. Love to have you back on in the new year, and we'll talk, hopefully we talk about drill results.
Perfect, let's do that.
All right. Thank you, Sam.